Jay Leno frequently does a man on the street interview. And one night, he asks some young people questions about the Bible in response to who, according to the Bible, was eaten by a whale. A young man confidently answered, Pinocchio. Some people today think that the story of a fish swallowing a man is simply too ridiculous to even believe. Well, you know, they obviously don't pay attention to history. Several similar experiences have been reported over the years. In February of 1891, the Star of the East was whale hunting off the Falkland Islands in the South Atlantic. And while pursuing a large sperm whale, one of the two boats was capsized by the Leviathan. The hunters went on to kill the whale, but feared two of their men had drowned. James Bartley was one of those missing fishermen. The crew mourned their loss, but also had a tremendous task of preparing this giant sea monster of a whale. They worked until midnight removing blubber from the 80-foot long, 80-ton fish. The next morning, they hoisted the whale's stomach on deck. To their surprise, they saw faint movement. M. DeParville, science editor of the journal Des Debats, investigated the incident. He verified that James Bartley was indeed the reason for the movement. When the stomach was cut open, Bartley was found unconscious. He was bathed in seawater and placed in the captain's quarters for 2 weeks. He was confused and mentally disturbed. Yet, in 4 weeks, he had fully recovered and was able to recount his experience. For the rest of his life, he carried the scars of a bleached white face, neck and hands from the whale's gastric acids. And there are at least four other similar accounts of people being swallowed by a whale and living to tell about it over the years. In his story, Jonah, you know, he's very honest about his personal failures, which makes that biblical book a great place to turn to examine our own spiritual condition. Those who desire to see God move in the church must grasp this truth. And it's this: we will never see God move corporately until we experience Him moving personally. We will never see God move corporately until we experience Him moving personally in each one of our lives. If you haven't turned yet to the book of Jonah, right there beside Obadiah and Micah, in between Obadiah and Micah, if that helps. If not, you can look to your table of contents in the front of your Bible and maybe find that. I have trouble with those minor prophets myself, trying to find different books. But if you're there with me in Jonah, chapter 1, let's read those first 5 verses. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. You know, we live in a society that's tuned in to indicators. Indicators. You know, weather indicators, economic indicators, political indicators. Our cars have indicator lights. And by the way, it was the same in Jesus' day. They didn't have those type of indicators, but he spoke about the people understanding the weather and what the next day was going to be like better than their own spiritual condition. He spoke about those things, but he wants us to consider our own personal spiritual condition. And if we take a close look at this backslidden servant of God, we might just have revealed to us some things that we need to deal with in our own lives. So let's take a look at Jonah for a couple of moments, and we'll look at Jonah over these next few weeks. But what are the indicators that we need to return to God? What are they? There are indicators. They're right there in our lives. If we need to return to God, there are indicators that tell us that we need to return. The first indicator that we need to return to God is that we ignore God's Word. That's the first indicator that we need to return to God. We ignore God's Word. In verse 1 it says, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. He heard God's Word. And that phrase, the Word of the Lord came to Jonah, it reminds us that God speaks to the hearts of His people. He speaks to the hearts of His people. The question is not whether God has spoken, but whether we are listening. God speaks. There's no doubt about that. The question is whether we're listening when He speaks. We ignore God's Word for one of two reasons. It's either A, we don't like what God has to say. We don't like what God says. When he was told, go to Nineveh, Jonah didn't like what he was commanded to do. Someone wrote about the Bible, sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. And when Christians drift away from God, they begin right here by ignoring God's Word. God speaks, but are we listening? There's no doubt that He speaks, but are we listening? The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. And when we ignore God's Word, it's either because we don't like what God says, or we don't love what God says. See, when we love God, we want to hear from Him. If you have a love relationship with the Lord, if you're in a love fellowship with the Lord, you want to hear from Him. You want to talk with Him. You want Him to talk to you. So if we ignore God's Word, it's because we don't like what He's telling us, or it's because we don't love hearing from Him. We don't love having communication with Him. Charles Schulz. You know Charles Schulz? Peanuts. Charles Schulz provided helpful and humorous insights through his Peanuts comic strip. In one strip, he showed Charlie Brown's sister Sally struggling with her memory verse for Sunday. She was lost in her thoughts, trying to figure out when she recalled, maybe it was something from the book of reevaluation. She never did find her memory, her memory verse, but she sure gave us something to remember when it comes to studying the Bible. We should always read it with the intent of reevaluating our attitudes and our actions to make sure that they're squaring up with the Word of God. Be sure that we're not ignoring God's Word. So that's one indicator that we need to return to God. We ignore God's Word. A second one is we hide past sins. We hide past sins. In the first part of verse 2, Nineveh is instructed to arise. Jonah is instructed to arise and go to Nineveh. Have you ever tried to hide a sin? Everybody should say yes. Have you ever tried to hide a sin? I mean, maybe you did it years ago, but you've never confessed it, or you've even tried to make it right. Instead, you try to hide it in the closet somewhere. Maybe it was against a loved one, or maybe it was against some friend. Maybe it was a personal thing. The issue is this. It has had an impact on your relationship with God if you haven't dealt with it. Even if you don't think it has, it has had an impact on your relationship with God. There's an old story told about this drunken husband. He came home drunk. He snuck up the stairs real quick. He looked in the bathroom mirror and he bandaged the bumps and bruises that he'd received in a fight earlier that night. He then proceeded to climb into bed, smiling at the thought that he'd pull one over on his wife. When morning came, he opened his eyes and there stood his wife. And she said, "You were drunk last night, weren't you?" No, honey. No, I wasn't drunk. And she said, "Well, then if you weren't, then you tell me who put all those band-aids on the mirror." We try to cover over. We try to hide past sins. But it doesn't work, does it? It really doesn't work. Jonah was hiding, trying to hide a sin from his past. And you know what that was? He hated Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh. He had grown popular as a prophet because he had condemned the Assyrians where Nineveh was. He had condemned them. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, a very inhumane people. The Assyrians had a strict take no prisoners policy. They would pull out the tongues of their captives and they would even skin them alive. They were a brutal people. And as they left the conquered city, they piled the skulls of their victims outside the ruins that they left behind in that city. They were a brutal, brutal people. And so Jonah hated them. He despised the Ninevites. And now he feared that he was going to lose credibility with the Israelites if he went to preach the offer of grace to those same people. Now his sin of hatred had become the excuse for his rebellion against God. He couldn't express the love of God to those people because of his sin of bitterness toward them. And we know this to be true because we find out later that he gets upset when God saves them, God spares them. In fact, he even says, he's upset because he knew that if he went there and preached it, that they would repent and that God would spare him. And he was upset. But you know what? What Jonah wasn't planning on when he harbored all of that bitterness and hatred for Nineveh is what Numbers 32 and verse 23 says. It says, be sure that your sin will find you out. And he had harbored that. He had preached against them. He had preached their condemnation. He hated them. He despised them. He was bitter toward them. And what did God do? God called them and told them to go right to the very ones. And God does that in our lives too, doesn't he? If we have problems with people, God will often take us right to that person to see how we're going to deal with it, because we need to deal with it. And hiding past sin is a clear indicator that you need to return to God. If you're hiding sin from your past in your life, then you're not in a right relationship with God. And it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be confronted. God was causing Jonah to be confronted with his sin. And God calls each one of us to confront our sin and deal with it in order to return to God. So we ignore God's word. We hide past sins. Another indicator is that we neglect evangelism assignments. You know, we're called, every one of us, to be witnesses for Christ. It's not optional. It's not that, you know, God would like us to be witnesses. No, we're called to be witnesses, every last one of us. And because God has called us to be witnesses to Jesus Christ in this world, He gives us opportunities to do that. He gives us assignments to share the good news. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and do what? The second part of verse 2. Cry out against Nineveh. Cry out against it. Basically, God told Jonah to preach against Nineveh. Most people know that the Jews are God's chosen people. But do you know what they were chosen to do? That's right, to tell others about God. It was their job to reveal the good news to the Gentiles. They were to be a light among the Gentiles. Literal Israel was to be a light among the Gentiles. And you and I, as spiritual Jews, the Christians, we're called to be what? A light among the Gentiles, among the lost. Yeah, they were chosen to take the knowledge of God to the nations. When God called Abraham, the Lord told him, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you. God entrusted evangelism to his people. He did it with Israel, and when they refused to be witnesses, he took it away from them and he gave it to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, through the church. And the church is also under the Great Commission of the Lord. We have the responsibility to carry the gospel to the world. The question is, are we sharing our faith? We have that same responsibility that the Jews had to be a light among the Gentiles. We're called to share the gospel message in this world. Are we sharing our faith? Neglecting evangelism is a clear indicator that you need to return to God. If you're not sharing Jesus Christ, then you're not in the right relationship with God. You need to return to God. Another indicator that we need to return to God is that we decide to disobey. We decide to disobey. There are times we know exactly what we should do. We read God's word, it tells us exactly what we should do, and we decide not to do it anyway. We just decide, I'm not going to do this. God says, I want you to do this. God's word says, this is what I want you to do. And we say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And then we give all the reasons why we're not doing it. Because it's inconvenient. Because people might reject me. People might not like what I say. It's inconvenient. It's going to cause problems. The very first part of verse 3 has one word. But. That's a three-letter word, but it's a big word. God said, go to Nineveh, preach against Nineveh. And it says, but. That single word tells the whole story. Jonah knew exactly what God wanted. He knew exactly what God wanted. And instead of listening, he decided to disobey. Blatantly decided to disobey. And you sit there and you go, well, if I disobey God, it's an accident. No, we need to think about the decisions that we make when we know what the truth is and we decide to do exactly the opposite of that. Very often, it's not because we accidentally didn't do it or we forgot to do it. It's because we just decided we're not going to do that. It doesn't fit into our plans. It doesn't fit onto our agenda. It's not convenient. And so, I'm just not going to do it. And then we cover it over with one phrase that we like to use all the time. God understands. God understands. No, actually, God had Jonah swallowed by a fish in order to get his attention. Disobedience is actually a nice word for rebellion. It's a nice word for rebellion. For some reason, we have incorrectly come to believe that God is willing to bargain with us over his commands. We've come to that place where we think God is willing to negotiate with us, to bargain with us over his commands. We think God is ready to make exceptions to his rules, to compromise on his expectations for us. And then we say, well, God understands. God understands. Don't miss this. God does not negotiate his commands. He does not negotiate his commands. We either obey his commands or we're rebellious. That's his word. He didn't negotiate for Abraham. He certainly didn't negotiate for Moses. He didn't negotiate for David. And he won't negotiate and bargain for us. If you say, I trust God, and then you qualify it with a but, then you need to return to God. You're not in the place where God wants you to be. And so we decide to disobey, just as Jonah did. But another indicator is we run from serving. We run from serving. It says but, and then it says Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's an amazing statement. He took off to go to another town in order to get away from God. It doesn't say that he went there. It doesn't say he went there to get away from having to go preach to the Ninevites. It's much worse than that. He goes there to try and get away from God. You know, God's over here, and so I'm going to go over there. And if I go over there, then I don't have to worry about God anymore. And if I don't have to worry about God anymore, then I don't have to do that. I'm in church, and something the preacher says, or the Sunday school teacher says, or something I read convicts me. And I don't like what it says. So what do? I don't come to church. I don't want to be there. As if that conviction can't follow me somewhere else. He ran from the presence of the Lord. You know, those words are even more serious when we consider that Jonah was a prophet of God. Okay? So him running away from the presence of God was to basically try and get away from his boss. As a prophet of God, he worked directly for God to proclaim God's word. And there's three phrases in that verse, that passage. Three phrases that we need to take a look at. The first one is to flee. And think about that. Think about the irresponsibility of running from God. You know, when it comes to serving God, every Christian finds himself in or herself in one of three situations. If you're a Christian, when it comes to serving God, you are either in one of these three situations. Either you've never started what God has called you to do, or you started it but you quit and began making excuses why you're not doing it, or you're going strong doing what God wants you to do. So you've either never started it, you've started it and quit making excuses about it, or you're doing what God wants you to do. When it comes to serving God, every one of us in this place are in one of those three places. We're either serving, doing what we're supposed to do, or we're holding out and saying, no, I don't want to do that. Or we started, and maybe it got a little tough, or maybe it got a little inconvenient, and we stopped. And then we started making excuses why we're not doing it. It is irresponsible for you to run from your God-given assignments. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we give our life to Jesus Christ. Paul said, don't you realize that your life, it's not yours anymore? It's not yours. It was bought with a price. And your job is no longer to just live this life for yourself. Your job is to live this life specifically for Jesus. And if you're living this life for Jesus, then you're called to do what He wants you to do, to be His witnesses, to be His servant. And so it's completely irresponsible to run from those assignments that God gives you. I mean, if somebody joins the military and they refuse to obey the orders, well, first of all, they get in a whole lot of trouble. If they try and get in a whole lot of trouble, and if they try and run away from it, are they just looked at and thought, oh well, okay, there they go? No. They're still part of that military group. And they're considered to be AWOL, or they're considered to be deserters, depending on the situation. Unfortunately, there are a lot of deserters and servants of God who are AWOL. We need to ask ourselves, are we? Are we serving? Are we resisting serving? Have we started serving and then stopped, gave up? The first phrase in there is to flee. But then it says to Tarshish. To Tarshish. I mean, that brings up the whole insanity of running from God. I mean, just the insanity of it. I mean, let me ask a question. What is your Tarshish? Think about your life. What is your Tarshish? I mean, what your Tarshish is, it's a place that you go to that's the opposite of God's will for your life. That's what your Tarshish is. You know what God has called you to do. You know what God wants you to do. And you go to a place, rather than to that place of service, you go to a place that's exactly the opposite. God told Jonah to go in this direction, and Jonah went in that direction. The exact opposite direction. That's what your Tarshish is. That place that you go to that's the opposite of God's will for your life. Jonah tried to run as far from God's call as possible. And his rebellion led him to do that which he would never have even considered previously. He was a servant of God. He was one of God's prophets. He preached. He preached against the Ninevites, but he didn't do it face to face. He condemned them and he spoke about them, but he never went there and confronted them with God's message. He was a servant of God. He preached God's message as a prophet. And now God has given him an assignment, and he didn't like the assignment. And so he went in the exact opposite direction of what God told him to do. And how many times do we do that in our lives? God says, this is what I want you to do. This is exactly what I want you to do. There's no doubt about it. It's clear. in our hearts and it's confirmed with the Word and with the Spirit, and we do exactly the opposite of what He calls us to do. We run and it's something that we wouldn't do otherwise, but it's because that particular task, we don't like that one. We've served Him on many of other occasions. We've been obedient. We've done what He wants us to do. But this one, we don't like that one. But see, we don't get to pick and choose. When we accept Christ's salvation, we accept His leadership in our lives and His calling in our lives. And so, to try and run away, I mean, it's insanity. But then there's another phrase in there, from God. And what Jonah found out and what we find out every single time is, you can't run from God. The impossibility of running from God. David speaks of that in Psalm 139. He says, where can I go, Lord, to get away from You? If I go to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, You're there. If I turn off the lights, doesn't matter to You, because to You, darkness and light are the same. God doesn't have to squint His eyes. He doesn't have to wear night vision in order to see in the dark. Dark means nothing to God. It's the same as if it's completely light. You can't run. It's impossible to run away from God. I mean, think about it. Can you really escape to some Tarshish? Can you really escape there from God? Of course not. You can run, but you cannot hide from God. And that's what Jonah found out. Let me ask you this. What is God called you to? What has He called you to do? I mean, what has God given you a passion for? A passion about? You know, what are you supposed to do? When and when should you do it? You see, running from service, it's a clear indicator that you need to return to God. And let me give you one last indicator that you need to return to God. And that is that we disregard God's correction. Jonah got on that boat heading away from where God wanted him to be, and God brought a storm to that ship. A storm that was getting so bad that they were concerned and they were throwing stuff overboard in order to stabilize things. And where was Jonah? Well, verse 5 tells us where he was. It says, Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. He was running from God. God had brought calamity into his life on that ship, affecting him and everybody else. And what was Jonah doing? Completely ignoring what God was doing. Able to just sleep right in the middle of it all. And what about us? What about us? We are disregarding what God is doing in our lives because we're not doing what He wants us to do, and it doesn't bother us. We can just go on with our lives. We can just go on about our routines. And when things happen in our lives, we just simply say, what a terrible thing it is that happened. And we make no connection that this is happening because of what's going on in our relationship with God. I mean, in the midst of a God-sent storm, Jonah fell asleep. And some people are just so asleep that they completely miss what God's trying to say to them. How do you return to God? Well, let me close with this story. A story that you may be familiar with from the life of John Newton. John Newton, the the one who authored Amazing Grace. Well, he discovered grace and forgiveness through humility, honesty, and confession. Newton signed on with a slave ship leaving from Africa with its cargo. He was an experienced sailor and navigator, but his cursing and his blaspheming turned hardened sailors' ears red. Soon the ship was caught in a horrible storm and was taking in water. The crew had to pump 24 hours a day to stay afloat. They had to just keep bailing it out. But the constant wind rocked the boat so dangerously that the sailors had to tie themselves to the deck to keep from being swept overboard. At one point, several of the crew tried to throw Newton overboard. They figured that God was punishing him like Jonah of the Old Testament. The captain declared that the only way the ship would make it into safe harbor was by God's power. He commanded everyone, including Newton, to pray, God, but pray to God. Newton prayed, God, if you're true, then make good your word. Cleanse my vile heart. And after 4 weeks of storms and constant brushes with death, the ship limped into an Irish port. John Newton, former slave trader and atheist, declared his faith in Jesus, and he became a well-known preacher and writer. How do you return to God? Well, it's through humility. It's through honesty. It's through confession. We have to humble ourselves before God. We have to acknowledge the sin. We have to acknowledge the rebellion that has got us away from God. And in honesty, in that confession, we need to acknowledge that we need God's forgiveness. And then we can return to the place where God wants us to be in our relationship with Him.